Hello, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of CPA Review and More. We are pleased to bring you the number one podcast for CPAs and CPA candidates. If you'd like to learn more about how Jaeger CPA Review can help you, find us on our website at JaegerCPAReview.com. Now, here's your host, Phil Jaeger.
Everyone, this is Phil Jaeger, and welcome to CPA Review and More. All right, today we're not going to be talking about CPA Review. All right, we're going to be talking about more. And I have a guest today, Catherine Horton. Correct? Did I get that right?
Yes.
Catherine is she is a CPA. And Catherine, do you have your own practice? You work for someone? What is your background?
So my background, I actually spent 2 years in private. So, you know, I worked at a factory in production control. I liked accounting. The reason I was working at, you know, production control, I graduated in 2009. The job market was not the best. So I went the route, you know, I could to get some experience. So I worked there for 2 years. Then I started as an intern at a regional accounting firm. So I have a background in audit. I was there for about 6.5 years, Daskal Bolton down in Sunrise. And then I moved over to Markham LLP. I worked there for about a year here in Fort Lauderdale. And then actually coming on to a 2-year anniversary of starting my own firm, Catherine K. Horton CPA PA, formerly based in Fort Lauderdale, recently moved over into Coral Springs, Florida.
Where's Coral Springs in relation to Fort Lauderdale?
It is just northwest. So, you know, it is over kind of by the Everglades, but I'm really kind of, due west of Boca Raton, which is right in between Fort Lauderdale and West Palm Beach.
And are you born and raised in Florida?
Yep, born and raised in Miami, South Miami, actually.
Oh, okay. And now down there, as we speak, spring break is on, right?
Yes. Uh-huh.
And the things we've heard about the governor just allowing, and correct me if I'm wrong, everything is open, right? All right. Mm-hmm. Forget the COVID virus. It's all open. Am I correct?
Yes. Yeah. It's mostly over east. They don't tend to come out too far west over by the Everglades. They like to stay in by the
beach. Is there a border guard where they can't get in? Is that what it is to keep those people out?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. But I used to live over by the beach, and it was over, you know, every
you
April.
Live over by the beach. You live on the beach or over by, how far are you from the beach?
Well, from the beach right now, I'm a good 15, 20 miles probably.
Oh,
but I used to live out there, you know, I want to say about 5 years ago. I lived out there for a couple years, but we always knew, you know, come, you know, March, April, it was going to be very busy over there. And if you wanted to plan some trips or, you know, get out for a little bit, that was the time to do it.
I never was at spring break. I'm trying to remember. I'm 102 years old, so we didn't really. No, I'm just kidding. I'm trying to think what we did during Easter break. Yeah, that's what it was. We basically stayed out of school. That was it. We didn't go. We didn't go to our parents and say, "Hey, can we go down to Panama City?" All right. I don't even know if Panama City existed, but we just stayed home. That was it. We stayed home. Oh, I remember what we did. We used to go to Radio City Music Hall for the Easter show. They had the big Easter show then. All right.
Aww.
All right. Which really has nothing to do with accounting, but I figured I would mention that. And so anyway, you have your own firm. How many people work for you?
It's just me right now. So, it's something, I thought, in time I would be able to, have some interns, but just with the whole COVID, I thought it was best just to keep everything in house for right now. But it's just me, but it's been working out really, really well so far. And, definitely enjoy, having my own firm, running my own practice, being the main controller of my destiny, so to speak.
And how's the market now for accounting firms? You said you started in 2009, you mentioned, which was during that the Great Recession. But how is it now? Is it more? Florida was always a resort area, and people came down there, so there wasn't a need for large corporations so much. Has Florida changed to some extent? And is it you find it easy, difficult to get clients? Well, what's how is Florida now? I haven't been to Florida for a while, but I understand Miami is booming. I guess a lot of companies are coming in there.
Oh, yeah, we're having a big influx down here. Even the housing market, you know, the corporate, you know, market there, it's just, you know, flooded, you know, especially to, you know, with the tax rates, you know, Florida tends to be a little more advantageous, you know, for certain corporations.
Right.
You know, and then as far as, you know, kind of the work goes, a lot of the work I do is actually contracted work based on, you know, my experience as, you know, an audit manager, senior manager, working through. So a lot of, you know, firms like to, you know, engage me to come in as needed on, you know, various audits to assist them in that process. And so, you know, I have seen a little bit of a change though with that, I have to say, you know, because there has been a lot more. I've seen actually kind of a trend where, you know, there is a bit of a migration as far as staff, senior supervisors out of public accounting into private. So the need is a lot greater, I'm seeing. But, you know, some of that in talking, you know, with some other young professionals, I could see that directly be a correlation from COVID. You know, in public accounting, we work really long hours, but, you know, a lot of the incidental benefits, you know, like the happy hours, you know, the team building events, you know, even, you know, in regards to compensation, some of that has been mitigated, you know, because of COVID as far as bonuses and increases. So I have seen somewhat of a little bit of a trend where, you know, as far as the grind of public accounting, some are migrating out, I think, sooner rather than later, as some would. But I do think COVID has had, you know, an effect on that. So that is something I, you know, I do see maybe as a horizon issue in another couple of years where there will be that void there, a greater need, so to speak, on those experience levels, you know, within the public accounting firms.
When you got out of college, you didn't have the experience requirement to get the CPA, did you?
No. So I graduated, yeah, in 2009, and the market was not good. You know, that was when we were in a recession, you know, and I pretty much had worked my way through college. So I mostly did night classes. So I didn't have really, you know, the chance to go to the daytime recruiting events and be able to do that. So I, you know, had to start really from scratch when I graduated, and just the opportunities weren't there. So what I ended up doing was I took the CPA exam. You know, it was actually a really good choice to do that because it was right out of school. I had my 120 credits to sit for the exam, and I had already done my, you know, my two upper level years. Everything was still fresh on my mind, and I was still kind of in that study mode from school. So to hop right into studying for the exam was actually an easy transition and really helped in the process. So while I was still looking for work, I took the exam and I got all four parts passed. And so then I had that kind of in my back pocket. Still wasn't able to get work in public accounting. So, you know, I went into, you know, a manufacturing company, and I did that while I worked on my master's to get that additional 30 credit hours. And then after, you know, a couple years, I got an internship. I thought the time was right to go back out there and, you know, take another stab at it. And I didn't, and I did get an internship, you know, with a firm. That's when I did the 1 year work experience requirement. So it was a longer process, so to speak. It was a little tough. You know, you pass the exam, then you have to wait, you know, a couple, you know, 2-3 years after to finally get licensed. But I thought it was a little different from most in taking the exam right away. But it really was a huge help, because then when others were, you know, already working, trying to find the time, you know, to get the exam done, it was something that I already had kind of in the pocket. So it was a huge help in that sense. So I always find, you know, blessings, or try to find blessings in everything. And, you know, the fact I couldn't find work right away, I think really was a blessing in disguise.
You think it was too rigid that you passed the exam and basically most states, you know, Florida sounds very similar, experience requirement, 1 year in an accounting firm, public accounting firm, mm-hmm. or some states have, you have to work under a CPA for a year. Is that also one of the experience requirements in Florida?
I believe so. Yes, you have to be under, you have to have a licensed CPA really sign off, you know, as far as your experience requirement and, you know, having been a part of that. Actually, the challenge I found was actually in regards to the exam scores, because I took the exam in Georgia, actually. And so I was going to transfer everything down into Florida, you know, and then do the experience requirements, have everything done there. Florida, actually, if you pass the exam and after 3 years, you haven't met the other requirements, your exam actually expires. So you can pass all four parts, but if you don't meet the other requirements within 3 years, those scores go away. So as soon as I saw that, and I saw I was kind of getting towards, or could be getting towards the cusp right there, I decided it was best not to transfer the scores, keep them in Georgia where they don't have that expiration there. And then, you know, and that's how I got licensed in Georgia and then filed for reciprocity after the fact. But it was a very small clause in there, and I'm really glad I saw it, you know, because Florida is one of just a handful of states that that have that.
In Florida, will they take accountants who are licensed in other states? You know, because a lot of people who are licensed in other states couldn't get reciprocity in Florida because they were trying to keep the retired people out, you know, who were, you know, coming from like New York, whatever. And they came to Florida to retire, but they figured, hey, I'll do some tax returns, whatever. And I heard they made it very hard, Florida, to get reciprocity. Is that still the case?
You know, it can be difficult, especially on the retired status. But I know that is something, you know, in the Florida legislation, actually, that they're trying to push through in this session. There's a couple CPAs there, you know, who are in the Florida Senate and the U.S. representatives who are, you know, advocating, you know, in regards to, you know, the retired status and having that. So that way, you know, people coming from out will be able to practice. So that's something that, you know, they're pushing through as far as this, you know, legislative session, and we'll see, you know, if that actually, you know, passes.
Is that, I mean, the fact that they made it very difficult for these older accountants, you know, who were retiring to Florida, but yet they still wanted to work, it's sort of discouraging people from still remaining as CPAs. Mm-hmm. And I don't see the point in it. I mean, if a person can still do work, all right, then, you know, don't make it so difficult. But, you know, just like I feel the one-year experience requirement under a CPA or working for a CPA firm, that really keeps a lot of people, you know, out of the profession. Mm-hmm. And when I took the exam, the experience requirement in a lot of states is 1 year working as an accountant. You didn't have to sign off as a, you know, by a CPA, or even work in a public accounting firm. Because a lot of people don't want to go into a public accounting firm because, as you said, they work you, all right? There's mm-hmm. no quality of life. But what have they done? All right, they've gone to 1 year in an accounting firm, CPA firm, or 1 year working under a CPA. And I personally, all right, and I think that goes with the what I was talking to you before about this person at the ASCPA who's really thinks, a CPA is a license to practice in public accounting. Now, when I took the exam in Maryland, all right, the CPA was a certification, all right? And once you got the CPA, you got the certificate, and then if you wanted to practice as a CPA, you had to get, you know, the experience requirement, all right? And then you would get a license to practice. But, you know, it's, I don't believe, I mean, my opinion is, and it basically doesn't really count for much, is that let's make it a little easier. Let's not be so strict. Let's get people in the profession and don't force them to go into public accounting. All right. Because they are, you know, big, you know, a large group of people who are becoming certified at one point, but people work with the federal government. We used to get a lot of students from the federal government. Now I don't see them anymore because, first of all, they don't have CPAs they work under, all right? And they have not been in public accounting. They don't want to. So they're going to CMAs. Now, are you a CMA?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah, it's certified management accountant.
All right. And it wasn't as rigorous to get that as a CPA, correct?
Correct. Yeah, that was a two-part exam. So they were 4 hours each. And then, yeah, each consisted of certain subcomponents there. But it was, you know, smoother. Yeah, definitely an easier process, I thought, overall.
But you don't see a lot of, you know, people going for jobs. They don't say CNA instead of CPA. CPA is the big thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Now, why did you go for a CMA?
Well, that was something, it was really an interest area for me. I always liked cost accounting. I was, you know, kind of the oddball in my class there that I loved cost. And then I worked in, you know, production control at a manufacturing company. And so I got to see a lot of, you know, what I learned actually in practice there. So it was something I've always really liked. You know, so I went ahead, and took the exam, got it done with, and I thought it was just a good credential overall to have to complement my my CPA.
Are you active in the IMA?
Yes, I am. Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm a current member there, and I'm actually speaking at their national conference in June coming up this year.
And do people ask you, should I go for a CPA or a CMA? Do you get that asked of you?
Not too often, just because I do have quite a few, you know, letters after the name. But, you know, it has been asked as far as why, you know, as far as having the two together. And I thought it was, and I still think it's a very good blend, especially, you know, when you are dealing with, you know, manufacturing companies, companies in production, you want to be able to speak their language. And, you know, having that CMA, you know, really allowed me to do that. So I have always felt that it's been a good complement, and it does kind of provide that broader kind of experience within accounting that allows me to service clients better.
Do you get asked more, like if you're working in that area, manufacturing client of some type, mm-hmm. Do they ask you, do you have a CMA? Have you ever been asked that?
No, I have not, but it's always been on my email signatures, and you know, that's something, you know, the firms always have included as far as my background, you know, with the companies. So
you get questions such as, are you a CPA?
Yes, there are certain companies, like there's one I was actually dealing with, they only wanted CPAs on their engagement. So sometimes, you know, we do have, you know, interns or staff who work on those engagements who maybe don't have that quite yet. But, you know, there's one client I was just dealing with that required it for everybody on the engagement team, you know, for us to be engaged. So, you know, that tends to be kind of the key focal point, you know, for most clients.
We discussed earlier that when it comes to auditing, and you said you like doing audits, right?
Yeah, audit's my background.
You love it. How much do you get up in the morning and say to yourself, God, I hope I'm doing an audit today?
Well, it's part of my everyday. So, you know, it's something I do enjoy doing. Others may not. You know, I know certain companies' audits are the last thing they want to deal with, you know, but I always try to make it a smooth process overall. And, you know, I always say we work together, you know, through the
process. Oh, which one would you prefer? Would you prefer to do an audit or go to the beach today?
Well, I think that's it's a beautiful day out there, but with the spring breakers, I don't know necessarily. Yeah, the beach.
No, they're carrying all that COVID stuff. You know, they don't know it, but
yes, too.
But anyway, I started talking about the good old CPA exam changing July 1st. And obviously, technology is becoming more important in the profession. And they figured, hey, it's time to start testing on those areas. And you told me you are into data analytics, of which I'm going to ask you in a second what that means. And I also mentioned they're going to start asking questions in auditing, the auditing part exam, on data analytics. Now, I bet if I ask students coming out of school who probably didn't have a course in data analytics, and I just said, well, you've taken all the other courses. Tell me, do you know what data analytics is? I don't know if they'd be able to answer that. So I'm going to ask you, Catherine, okay? All right. And I did say Catherine, correct? That's your first name?
Uh-huh. All right.
Catherine, tell us what data analytics is, all right? Why it's important today to know it in the profession, and what is your take on if the schools are teaching it as part of the accounting curriculum?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. So data analytics in and of itself is the science of analyzing raw information sources to draw insights. So it's taking your very large data files and consolidating all that information to provide meaningful insights. Now, the definition of meaningful insights can vary greatly depending on who's using it, but that in a nutshell is what data analytics is. It's being able to take your big data files and take that 50,000 foot view in order to find and to see the relevant, useful information. But then also too, data analytics has the power to really splice and dice down your data to immediately pinpoint the unusual items, things that may be odd, things that may require additional information. So you are much more likely to find that needle in the haystack, so to speak, in a massive data file using technology and specific data analytics. Now, it's highly important for our profession because big data is where it's at. Our clients love big data. Everybody's using big data. Now, big data is these extremely large data sets. So that's your 500,000 line Excel file or your million page PDF document. And I mean, I encounter files like that all the time. And you get that information, and then you have to find the unusual items, what's odd, how it's relevant to your purpose, your engagement at hand. And doing that through a manual process, it's just not feasible. And that's why the technology with data analytics is so important. And I use it on big data files really on a daily basis, because I'm able to really consolidate that information and hone in on really the key areas, you know, where the risk may be or where, you know, the unusual items are. So it is highly, highly important. And it's only becoming more and more important, especially because of COVID. We were all forced into remote working environments. So with our data, the same transition has happened. Before there was a lot of diversity as far as data, where a lot had manual paper files, some were fully electronic as far as their data. But with COVID, that's forced a lot more into that electronic data realm. So it's really not uncommon to deal with those million page PDFs or, you know, that 500 line Excel file. And you know, you are required under professional standards to really, you know, vouch out that data as a whole and make sure it does comply with professional standards. So data analytics is a great technology. There's a lot of different programs out there, softwares to use. You know, some incorporate artificial intelligence. I mean, a lot of it has really advanced in time, but it is a little difficult, I have to say, because, you know, in school, a lot of times, you know, you're taught the theory about things and, you know, the overall theory of data analytics. And at least that's what I've seen with a lot coming out from school. But there is somewhat of a disconnect as far as the practical applications. So you learn all these theories and then you start, you know, working for a company or working for a firm, and they ask you to do work with the data analytics and what kind of insights can you provide? There is that disconnect, you know, so that's something that, you know, I actually try to kind of break that barrier. So I do a lot of presentations at colleges, different courses to the students where I'll pull up my software, I'll pull up data files, I'll show them how I use it. So that way it can kind of bridge the gap, so to speak, as to what they're learning and how it can actually be applied.
When you're doing that, are the teachers, do you feel they know it, or are they also learning?
Well, it's kind of they're learning it as well. So I do a lot of presentations on data analytics for the Florida Institute of CPAs. I also do it on a national level as well for different organizations. And really, my request to come in for some of the colleges were professors who were at those presentations. So they saw the data analytics, they saw how it worked, how it could be applied, and they knew it was value added and something their students definitely needed to see. You know, but those professors in particular are ones who really want to try to give, you know, the skill sets there to make sure when you start in your career, you know, that, you know, you actually can, you know, really hit the ground running. So one professor in particular, I know I come in for the data analytics. She has a QuickBooks Pro advisor come in for another session and work with QuickBooks with the students. So that way they know that program and how it works. So when they started a company, they have a baseline as to some different accounting systems. But, you know, it's trying to bridge that gap between the theory and then the practical applications.
Thank you so much for listening to Yeager CPA Review and More. As a token for our appreciation for your listenership, we'd like to offer you 10% off your next purchase with Yeager CPA Review. Save between $50 to $150 with code PODCAST10. If you'd like more information, look us up on YeagerCPAReview.com. And as always, if you've enjoyed this show, please rate and review on iTunes or your preferred listening platform. Again, thank you so much for listening, and we look forward to you tuning in next time.